Balthazar lingered for 10 more days, toward the end looking more like a skeleton wrapped in old leather than a man. In his last days, he begged Joshua to forgive him his vanity, and he called us to his bedside over and over to tell us the same things, as he would forget what he told us only a few hours before. "You will find Gaspar in the temple of the celestial Buddha, in the mountains to the east. There is a map in the library. Gaspar will teach you. He is truly a wise man, not a charlatan like me. He will help you become the man you need to be to do what you must do, Joshua. And Biff, well, you might not turn out terrible. It's cold where you are going. Buy furs along the way and trade the camels for the woolly ones with two humps."
"He's delirious," I said.
Joy said, "No, there really are woolly camels with two humps."
"Oh, sorry."
"Joshua," Balthazar called, "if nothing else, remember the three jewels."
Then the old man closed his eyes and stopped breathing.
"He dead?"
I asked. Joshua put his ear to the old man's heart.
"He's dead."
"What was that about the three jewels?"
"The three jewels of the Tao: compassion, moderation, and humility. Balthazar said compassion leads to courage, moderation leads to generosity, and humility leads to leadership."
"Sounds wonky," I said.
"Compassion," Joshua whispered, nodding toward Joy, who was silently crying over Balthazar.
I put my arm around her shoulders, and she turned and sobbed into my chest.
"What will I do now? Balthazar is dead. All of my friends are dead, and you two are leaving."
"Come with us," Joshua said.
Sure, come with us."
But Joy did not come with us. We stayed in Balthazar's fortress for another 6 months, waiting for winter to pass before we went into the high mountains to the east. I cleaned the blood from the girls' quarters while Joy helped Joshua to translate some of Balthazar's ancient texts. The three of us shared our meals, and occasionally Joy and I would have a tumble for old time's sake, but it felt as if the life had gone out of the place. When it came time for us to leave, Joy told us of her decision.
"I can't go with you to find Gaspar. Women are not allowed in the monastery, and I have no desire to live in the backwater village nearby. Balthazar has left me much gold and everything in the library, but it does me no good out here in the mountains. I will not stay in this tomb with only the ghosts of my friends for company. Soon Ahmad will come, as he does every spring, and I will have him help me take the treasure and the scrolls to Kabul, where I will buy a large house and hire servants, and I will have them bring me young boys to corrupt."
"I wish I had a plan," I said.
"Me too," said Josh.
The three of us celebrated Joshua's 18th birthday with the traditional Chinese food. Then the next morning, Joshua and I packed up the camels and prepared to head east.
"Are you sure you'll be all right until Ahmad comes?" Joshua asked Joy.
"Don't worry about me. You go learn to be a messiah."
She kissed him hard on the lips. He squirmed to get loose from her, and he was still blushing as he climbed onto his camel.
"And you," she said to me, "you will come to see me in Kabul on your way back to Israel, or I will put such a curse on you as you will never be free of it."
She took the little yin-yang vial full of poison and antidote from around her neck and put it around mine. It might have seemed a strange gift to anyone else, but I was the sorceress's apprentice, and it seemed perfect to me. She tucked the black glass knife into my sash.
"No matter how long it takes, come back and see me. I promise I won't paint you blue again."
I promised her, and we kissed, and I climbed on my camel, and Joshua and I rode off. I tried not to look back, once again, to another woman who had stolen my heart. We rode a half a furlong apart, each of us considering the past and future of our lives, who we had been and who we were going to be. And it was a couple of hours before I caught up with Joshua and broke the silence. I thought of how Joy had taught me to read and speak Chinese, to mix potions and poisons, to cheat at gambling, to perform sleight of hand, and where and how to properly touch a woman.
all of it without expecting anything in return. Are all women stronger and better than me?
Yes, he said.
It was another day before we spoke again.
Part 3. Compassion.
Tora! Tora! Tora!
War cry of the kamikaze rabbis. Chapter 16. We were 12 days into our journey, following Balthazar's meticulously drawn map, when we came to the wall.
So, I said, what do you think of the wall?
It's great, said Joshua.
It's not that great, I said.
There was a long line waiting to get through the giant gate, where scores of bureaucrats collected taxes from caravan masters as they passed through. The gatehouses alone were each as big as one of Herod's palaces, and soldiers rode horses atop the wall, patrolling far into the distance. We were a good league back from the gate, and the line didn't seem to be moving. This is going to take all day, I said. Why would they build such a thing? If you can build a wall like this, then you ought to be able to raise an army large enough to defeat any invaders.
Lao Tzu built this wall, Joshua said.
The old master who wrote the Tao? I don't think so.
What does the Tao value above all else?
Compassion? Those other two jewel things?
No. Inaction. Contemplation. Steadiness. Conservatism. A wall is the defense of a country that values inaction. But a wall imprisons the people of a country as much as it protects them. That's why Balthazar had us go this way. He wanted me to see the error in the Tao. One can't be free without action. So he spent all that time teaching us the Tao so we could see that it was wrong.
No, not wrong, not all of it. The compassion, humility, and moderation of the Tao, these are the qualities of a righteous man, but not in action. These people are slaves to inaction.
You worked as a stonecutter, Josh, I said, nodding toward the massive wall. You think this wall was built through inaction?
The Magus wasn't teaching us about action as in work. It was action as in change. That's why we learned Confucius first, everything having to do with the order of our fathers, the law, manners. Confucius is like the Torah, rules to follow. And Lao Tzu is even more conservative, saying that if you do nothing, you won't break any rules. You have to let tradition fall sometime. You have to take action. You have to eat bacon. That's what Balthazar was trying to teach me. I've said it before, Josh, and you know how I love bacon, but I don't think bacon is enough for the Messiah to bring.
Change, Joshua said. A Messiah has to bring change. Change comes through action. Balthazar once said to me, there's no such thing as a conservative hero. He was wise, that old man.
I thought about the old Magus as I looked at the wall stretching over the hills, then at the line of travelers ahead of us. A small city had grown up at the entrance to the wall to accommodate the needs of the delayed travelers along the Silk Road, and it boiled with merchants hawking food and drink along the line.
Screw it, I said. This is going to take forever. How long can it be? Let's go around.